Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Wednesday. Welcome to our show, One Bills Live, coming to you radio only again today. Sorry about that. John Murphy and Steve Tasker doing the show from our homes again for it's been about a week now. Jay Harris is on the line with us as well, and we are in contact with each other via Skype. Jay, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've noticed there's some strange man walking around behind you. There he is again. I don't know what that is. You have an intruder, I think, in your house, Jay.
My mic was muted, and you just saw me screaming on camera. No, that's my contractor, Enrique. He's carrying out all the debris from my basement. We are redoing our
rec room. What happened? Did you have an explosion of some kind?
No, but you should see it. It looks like the 70s threw up as he's carrying out red carpet, orange curtains. It's bad.
All right.
So he's doing.
I just wanted to let you know you had a guy walking around behind you.
He's doing good work
house.
with the window open, so it is very cold in here, but keeps me awake.
It's our producer Jay Harris. I'm at home. I'm in our kitchen where I have been. Steve's in his den with all kinds of padding around you, Steve. What's going on there? You're doing it again, right? You've got all kinds of soundproof padding going on.
It drives me crazy when I listen to the show on the podcast or on BuffaloBills.com. Go back and listen to a couple of them. My voice always sounded like I was in a bucket or in an echo chamber, right?
And
So I took steps toward making myself a little teeny tiny sound booth here in my office. Right now, it feels like it's like 210 degrees in here right now with these. But anyway. So, you know, it's my new normal now is to be inside this thing. It sounds a little bit – when I went back and listened to it after I started doing this, my voice sounded a little bit better. So hey, it's a radio show. You got to sound good, right?
Do I sound all right? I'm sitting right at the kitchen table. I don't have any padding around me.
Well, I'm looking at you, so it doesn't bother me, you know?
Okay.
I don't know if it bothers our listeners or not, but – I know I noticed the same thing with Pete. It's hard, man. This technology thing is, and this, you know, quarantine, you're kind of setting up stuff. We kind of worked it on the fly for the first week or two, and it kind of came together all right, though. We're getting into a little more routine.
Getting into it. Radio only, and that's because we don't have enough people, and the NFL, of course, is basically shut down for an undetermined amount of time. The commissioner had a statement on that just last night. We'll talk about that, but we didn't want to call in our six or eight people. We need to do a TV show, so it's just radio. I'm at home. Steve's at home. Jay Harris is home. Nobody in the Seneca studio in Orchard Park. But,
I've noticed, Burf, and getting into this. So, you know, you and I usually get in. We get in, like, what, hour, 2.5, maybe 2 hours before the show starts, right, on a given day before noon, right? And
say so.
Yeah, and we – yeah, right. So we're in there for a while before – but now that we're doing it from the house – I start trying to fit stuff in around getting ready for this. You know, we check in on Skype, make sure that's all working and stuff. We maybe text or a little something, but we got all this, you know, when you're not doing anything, I'm starting to try and fit too much in before the show. So that I'm like I got in, it was like 90 seconds before we went on the air, before I finally sat down, was ready to do the show again after we checked in a couple of times, you know, during the morning. We had our conference call this morning too, but I'm starting to, I think, get a little bit used to this new routine that we're in about, you know, doing it from our houses and stuff. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I think I'm getting used to it.
Yeah. You know, it's part of my routine before we do the show, Steve, and it cuts a little tight. And look, I'm not making a political statement here, but I gotta say, and I mentioned him a couple times, Governor Andrew Cuomo has been amazing, and he does like a daily news conference about 11:30 in the morning, and it's appointment TV for me now. And he's on there today talking about, you know, logistics and what has to happen, and the apex in hospitals will be felt still in 3 weeks. And, you know, he's operating on the best information he has. Today he got talking about some good signs. And let me just kind of repeating what the governor said about a half hour ago. He said they put out a call for health professionals to help out when the hospitals get pretty crowded. You know, they need recently retired doctors or nurses or people who don't necessarily work with day-to-day care of people. And he said they have 44,000 responses. People say, yeah, I'll help. I'll do something. Let me know. And he pointed out they put out a request for mental health professionals just to help people get through it. And this is total volunteer work. And they had 6,000 people say, yeah, I'm up. You know, raise your hand. Yeah, I'll volunteer for it. It's pretty amazing. The response that people are getting, we're seeing good signs, I think. And the governor, to his credit, points it out on an almost daily basis. And he also said one other thing. And this is not a political statement. I don't mean this, but listen, the Governor Cuomo's done stuff that I can't believe he's done. But the last couple of weeks, he's been amazing. But he did say, and it's really a problem in New York City. You know, they really are feeling the brunt of it. And he said, what makes us vulnerable in New York, he's talking about the city mostly, is our proximity to each other, our closeness, the density of population. He said, that's also what's going to help us get through that. And I really thought that that's important to note. You know, what makes New York so vulnerable to this coronavirus right now is the fact that people live so closely together, and it's so hard to social distance, especially in New York City. And he said, that's exactly what's going to get us through this, the kind of united front that New Yorkers can present. And I was kind of moved by that about 15, 20 minutes ago. I really thought that was great.
Yeah, and I agree with you. There are certain things you get up in the morning and you maybe take a minute to, you know, evaluate the day and see how and get your agenda here. But man, it's almost must watch TV, all the press conferences and the live updates that we get. I think it's been really good. And one of the things that, you know, we are being part of it, sometimes the media doesn't get it just exactly right or doesn't give us exactly what we're looking for. I think in this case, there's only one thing we want to hear from the people in charge and how it's going, and a constant update is to, you know, I think at some point, hopefully we'll start getting some good news, not just about how many people are volunteering and how, you know, how short we're running on supplies, but also maybe we're starting to peak, you know, starting to flatten the curve, you know, starting to slow down the exponential rate of cases that are being confirmed, that kind of thing, and certainly the deaths that are being associated with it as well. So hopefully we'll start getting some news about that within the next week or 2 weeks. And that's something I'm waiting for, and I don't know how long it's going to be before that happens.
Yeah, may take a while, but let's be patient. And again, now we're back to why are we here? Why are we bothering doing this radio show when there's so many more important things happening? And part of it, as I've said for a couple of days now, Steve, is to honor those who are working so hard and people who are volunteering to do their part in this crisis. And this is what we do, and it's pretty insignificant. I'd be the first to tell you what we do is insignificant in the current climate, but we continue to do the best we can in honor of those who are really up against it right now. So that's why we're here on radio only.
That's why we're doing it from home too. I don't want to make it worse for them, that's for sure. And if we can provide a distraction, maybe somebody sits at home and listens to maybe one person, like our wives, maybe two people, your wife and my wife will sit at home instead of going out and doing something else, you know, prohibiting or just doing whatever, just stay at home. That's what we all need to do. And if we can do this from home and still keep on keeping on, then let's do it. And I'm all for it. It's been a little inconvenient, a little difficult, a little strange, but it's getting better. It's getting better.
It is. And now let me see if I can bring you down a little bit. And this is just coming out as we speak. But word today that Bills Wall of Famer and Bills legend linebacker Mike Stratton passed away this morning, believed to be natural causes. Six-time AFL All-Star, two-time AFL champ, most famously known for the hit heard around the world, his hit on Keith Lincoln in the 1964 championship win over the San Diego Chargers at War Memorial Stadium. Mike Stratton was a really good guy. I had occasion to meet him a couple times. One of our staffers, Jeremy Kelly, spoke to his wife and said that his plan originally was to donate his brain to Boston University for CTE testing. He did not present any symptoms of CTA or signs of dementia, but he was interested in doing that nonetheless. His wife said she's not sure if that's going to happen because of the coronavirus, but we send our sympathies to his wife, and we send our regard to Mike Stratton. You ever meet him, Steve? He's a really good guy. Really basic, down to earth guy.
Yeah,
really good
player,
by the way.
Yeah, I met him. Obviously, he was long. I was long after his time in the league, but he was certainly around the. I might have been still playing while he was entered into the Wall of Fame, and it was. And of course, we've crossed paths since then as well. But certainly a great guy. Love talking to him, and I always think, you know, like me and like so many guys who are alumnus of the team, it makes you feel good to come back and be remembered in some way, shape, or form. And certainly he was. And that hit he made was something I think all, it was like, you know, it was one of those moments like the comeback thing, like the comeback game, like the 51-3 game in my era. Certainly it's like the Miami game and the Baltimore Ravens Cincinnati Bengals touchdown in the current era. It's one of those moments that everybody talks about, and for a generation back then, Mike Stratton's hit was one of those moments, I think he relished it later in his life.
Yep. Mike Stratton was 78 years old, Tennessee native, played for the Tennessee Volunteer, played for the Bills for 11 seasons, finished his career one season with the San Diego Chargers. He played with Terry Jacobs and John Tracy, certainly one of the best linebacking crews in the Old American Football League, and very notable crew. And that defense that he played on with the Bills in a league in the AFL where everybody was lighting up scoreboards and throwing the ball all over the yard, the Bills defense was their calling card, and they were amazing. The front seven defensively, they held opposing teams without a 100-yard rusher for 17 consecutive games. Did not allow a rushing touchdown for 17 games. AFL champions two straight years. Mike Stratton was a really good guy. Met him a couple times living in Tennessee. He really, you know, when he was good too, Stephen, our video crew will tell you this. They've done, over the last few years, they've done a couple of, Bills all-time greats and top 10 lists. Mike Stratton, one of the all-time greats in Bills history. And he was so cooperative with them. And he was so good and he's willing to be interviewed and was a great interview. Willing to talk about the hit heard around the world, you know, the hit on the Chargers, Keith Lincoln. But there was much more to his career than just that one hit. He was part of a great defense. He was an all-AFL second-team player. That's how good he was. 10 years of the old American Football League, Mike Stratton was all-AFL second-team. Just a really good guy and a very, very good player. We're sorry to get that news today.
Yeah, we'd heard rumblings maybe in the months preceding this that he wasn't doing well, but it's note of sadness in a time, and plus it's a time when all of us are kind of dealing with problems community-wise. Here's one that I hope it doesn't go unnoticed by most people, by Bills fans, that they know that they get a chance to maybe do something in remembrance of him. It was great. Mike was just a wonderful person.
Yep. All right, so we got a three-hour show to do, and we got some good guests coming up to do it with us. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, will join us at 1 o'clock today. We'll get Chris's thoughts on Mike Stratton, the passing of Mike Stratton, and what else has gone on around the NFL. Solomon Wilcox, formerly of the NFL on CBS, now with Pro Football Focus, right? Is that who he is? I got his resume.
Yes, that's
Solomon
right.
Solomon Wilcox is going to join us at 1:30 today to talk about the NFL. We'll talk with Solomon about that. And at 2 o'clock, a check-in on the Jets with Rich Cimini, covers the Jets for ESPN in New York. Tell me about Solomon Wilcox. You must have come across him through your CBS days, Steve. Huh?
Oh, yeah. I consider Solomon a friend. When stuff came up early in my career with CBS and other things and other weird stuff that came up later in my career as well, Solomon was always the guy I called to ask him how he would have handled it. You remember Solomon Wilcox's bit was on the sidelines and doing NFL games for years and years while I was still playing. He was the sideline reporter from Sunday Night Football when Paul McGuire and Joe Theismann were on Monday Night Football. Solly was their sideline guy. He did it for a long time and was really good at it. He did games from the booth for CBS as well. So he was really gracious to me. I called him for advice on a handful of occasions about how he'd handle certain situations with coaches in production meetings and in some of the things that you'd get some weird situations with teams. Sometimes teams would tell you some things in a production meeting, which means if you're sitting there in a production meeting as the crew that's going to do the game, Murph, they know they're on the record, you know. You're going to ask them some questions about the game and the broadcast and things that you can put in the broadcast, so they know they're on the record. Well, if they give you stuff in those meetings and they come, they'd be pretty forthright with you, a number of them. Some of them were more forthright than others. And some of them felt comfortable telling you everything, and some of them felt comfortable telling you nothing. You know how that is. But they knew also, there was also something that happens that whereas they'd say, listen, here's how this happened in this situation with this player, for instance. Here's why he's not going to be active tomorrow, but we're telling people this. So we don't want you to tell them the real story. You know what I mean? We're trying to protect the player and his family for some reason. Or they'll tell you, listen, well, this guy's going to be a game time decision, but he's not going to be active. Well, if they didn't tell us that it was off the record, sometimes you'd go with it, and sometimes you'd go with it in the pregame report. Like an hour or two hours or 2.5 hours before the game started, you would report it live on the pregame show if they went around to different games. So once in a while, you'd get into a situation where you'd say something, and the club would say, we thought that was off the record. And we'd say, well, you never told us it was off the record. You know, you got to tell us that. And I have no problem doing it. But there were certain situations in and around that kind of exchange of information that I would ask Solomon about, how would you handle it? And he would always be real forthright. And he'd say, listen, here's what you got to do. And he'd tell me his philosophy about it. And he was really, really gracious to help me out with some advice as a guy who did it for a lot of years. So I, and Solomon coming on the show at 1:30 today, was, you know, a resource for me. And he was really, he's one of those veteran guys that I went to for advice. And he was really always willing to give it. Good friend, yeah. I think.
Good guy. Solomon Wilcott's going to join us today. Coming up at 1:30.
Yeah,
and Ritsimini at 2 o'clock. So that's the lineup today. A lot to talk about. Not so much about the Bills. Let me just cover this little bit of news item. And not a whole lot happening around the NFL these days, but we should know this, Stephen. This happened, came out late last night. Apparently, general managers in the league, they had a subcommittee, and they recommended to the commissioner that the draft, scheduled to go April 23rd, the draft, should be moved back a little bit because of the coronavirus pandemic. And the commissioner said no. The league said no. The NFL is going to stick with its April 23rd through the 25th schedule. GM's concerned that in the current environment, off-season activities canceled. Some teams' facilities closed. There won't be enough time for physicals, getting psychological testing, getting more information about the players, and teams having to conduct the draft for home. But the league said no. The league still can make a final decision. But the consensus among owners and the league office is for the draft to go on as scheduled. I don't know what to think about that, Steve. I see both sides. I see why GMs would say, hey, we're not doing our regular pre-draft checkpoints here. We're not doing physicals. We're not having interviews. We're not talking to players. We're not doing pro days. You can't expect us to be ready to draft on April 23rd. The league, the owners essentially, says, no, well, yeah, let's get ready to draft. I don't know. What? I'm looking for other reasons besides greed, I guess, for the league owners to go that way. Why would the league be so evident and concerned about having a draft on April 23rd? Can you think of any reason?
I'm a little surprised. I mean, I would say at least give them a week. I would think the league itself would need a little extra time, given the fact that they had this huge stage show set up out in Las Vegas, and now they put the brakes on that. And that's going to happen in a completely different way, whether it's in Vegas or not. And I would think that the league would need some time to get that set up and laid out how they were going to do it, although it is a hugely scaled back version of it, so it'll be easier to do than the first one was. But I'm surprised the league didn't want to say, hey, wait a minute, we're not ready to put this on as a television production with the draft as we thought, because we've got a plan on how we're going to do it and how it's going to look. I'm surprised, but
yeah,
the league, but you know, maybe it's easier doing it what the league is doing by just putting it on as a studio show with, you know, camera cuts to each individual team. All 32 teams have already got cameras all over their facilities, right? I mean, all they got to do is patch them in, I guess, and put them, give them to the directors and producers in New York. But still, it seems like the league would ask for more time rather than the GMs. I mean, let's face it, those guys, the GMs and the coaches and the scouts, I mean, they were grinding all the way up until just, what, 2 weeks ago? So I'm surprised that they aren't more ready to do the draft than they are. That's the surprising thing to me. I thought it would be the league that would be asking for a delay in the draft, and the coaches and GMs and scouts would be like, no, we're ready. But it's just the opposite of that, and I find that strange.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my arms around why the league would be against it. One thing that comes to mind, maybe, is that the league thinks, hey, if we push the draft back, then we push preseason back, then we push the regular season back. I mean, who knows where we're going to be in a month, let alone 3 months from now. The training camps are, what, 4 months away, four-plus months away? I think the owners, I guess, are being cautious. Like, let's not tamper with the 2020 schedule if we don't have to. That might be what's motivating them. But and the league did announce yesterday, and I think most of this has already taken place around the Buffalo Bills, but the league did announce yesterday that Commissioner Roger Goodell said the rules are meant to league-wide workplace and operational mandates is what they call it. Employees like trainers, doctors, they don't work anymore for a while. According to the memo, all club facilities remain closed to all personnel. Director of facilities can still go there. Technology people can still go there. Goodell, look, here's what I mean. We're different in New York State, right? We shut down about a week ago, and there's NFL teams all across the country. I think that's what the league's doing with there. But most of these shutdown measures proposed by Commissioner Goodell have already taken place here in Western New York with the Bills, right? Haven't they?
Yeah, and yeah, the New York State's ahead of just about every other team. And I think I read in one of the memos coming out of the NFL, they used the phrase to keep a level playing field.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's one of the things. They realize that there's some of these states like Florida and California and New York that are hit a little harder at this point in time than other states are. And it's going to be, and it's just not fair that all these, you know, all those teams in those states, whoever they are, Washington, California, New York, are 2 weeks behind everybody else. So they're shutting down all, they're having all the facilities around the NFL shut down the same to keep it a level playing field, and that was it. And plus, you're right, Murph, if they move the draft back, it the league is all about unintended consequences and also the ripple effect, unforeseen consequences. If they move the draft back, they move OTAs back, they move everything back, and then they've got issues, not the least of which is probably their relationship with the union and the CBA and the new CBA and all the stuff that they're limited with. They can only do so much by contract with the union. And if they start moving it back, all of a sudden six things become compressed, and they become so compressed that they become illegal because of the CBA. And I think if they're really worried about moving things around like that for all of those reasons. And I think it just starts a chain reaction that, you know, you and me and most of us casual, most casual fans just don't see and don't know about.
Right. So there you go. The league is by a mandate of the commissioner, the league is going to shut down. But again, I don't think we'll feel it here in Western New York with the Bills because they have been for a while. That's it as far as news. I'm looking over what else is going on around the league. Marcus Mariota goes to the Raiders, signed late yesterday, says he's ready to back up Derek Carr. He said, first and foremost, this is Derek's team, and I understand that. That's impressive by Marcus Mariota, who's had a rough go in the last year or two in Tennessee, to verbally say that on the day he signed with them, right? I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, I think there were probably some conversations about that in the contract negotiations as well anyway, not that they were made public, or not even that Marcus Mariota or his team made public, or either, or the Raiders. Just that, listen, you're not coming in here to compete. Derek's our quarterback. He knew that when he agreed to the deal. That is always made perfectly clear. And the fact that we're just finding out about it, it really doesn't change the fact that there's no question Marcus Mariota knew what he was getting into three weeks ago when he agreed to the deal.
Yeah, but to say that, I think, is significant. And one other thing, and we'll talk with Rich Cimini about this when he joins us at 2 o'clock as we talk about the Jets. Robbie Anderson is gone from the Jets, and I guess I'm a little surprised. About a week ago, I recall reading that the Jets expected him to re-sign. He goes to the Carolina Panthers, reunited with his college coach at Temple, Matt Rhule. And maybe that was the impetus for Robbie Anderson, one of the top receivers for the Jets, to sign the contract with the Carolina Panthers. It's a two-year, $20 million deal, not outrageous money, $12 million in the first year of the contract. Pretty comparable, I would say, to what the Bills are going to pay their new receiver, right? Isn't it, Steve? It's about the same, right? $20 million, yeah. $10 million a year, $12 million first year.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I got to – Murph, something just occurred, and I want to go back and talk about that Marcus Mariota-Derek Carr thing. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But, you know, it's interesting to me because I'm positive what I just said is probably accurate, that they had conversations. Marcus Mariota knew he was not going to be in competition to start for the Raiders. And he signed very early, did he not? I mean, almost in the first couple of days of free agency, or if not before. He wasn't released, was he? Or was he a free agent? I think he was, wasn't he?
He was a free agent. I think he signed last weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, I wonder if they – anyway, my point is, what does it say about Marcus Mariota? He signed up quickly to be a backup and didn't hold out any hope of being a starter for any of the other teams that that were looking for starters.
You ask him, it says he's a realist. He knows he hasn't been great.
Yeah. It also says he doesn't have any competitive spirit. I mean, he doesn't want to compete. Well, he doesn't even want to go someplace where he can actually compete. I mean, there was a handful of teams like Tampa Bay, Indianapolis, the Chargers, and the Raiders. But all those teams, you could go in there and compete for a job. He wanted no part of it. I mean, I think that speaks to what we kind of observed from him. He wasn't a fiery guy. Let's go get it. He was like a, I don't know. It just says something to me about his personality that he's like, you know, he signed really early in the free agent process when there was a ton of teams looking for starters or at least guys to compete for the starting job. He says, you know what? I'm happy being a backup. I'm going to Vegas. That says something to me about him. And it's, you know, from a football standpoint, from a player standpoint, it's not flattering.
Yeah, you make a decent point. The more you say it, the more I think you're right. And I'm thinking about, and he's not a total comparable, but look, Ryan Fitzpatrick has moved around the league a lot. And most places where he signed, people figure he comes here to back X up. You know, he went to Miami to be Ryan Tannehill's backup. He went to the Jets to be somebody else's backup. He went to Houston Texans as somebody else's backup. And I can't recall ever Ryan Fitzpatrick going in there and saying, I'm happy to be here to be Ryan Tannehill's backup. This is Ryan's team. I'm here to back him up. He doesn't say anything about it. And then he goes out and takes the job eventually. You're right. There is a little bit of a difference there between what Marcus Mariota said and what Ryan Fitzpatrick has never said. You're right about that.
Yeah, I just think it's I don't know. I think it's something that most football people observed about Marcus Mariota. He's a wonderful guy. One of the, you know, he's full of character. He's, you know, hard worker. His teammates loved him. But he doesn't strike me as a fiery, competitive leader. And I think this move to willingly sign early in free agency as a backup speaks to that. I think he's a participant. He's not a leader.
Interesting. Our question today on Twitter deals with quarterbacks getting set for a Bills season. We think the 2020 season. We think it's coming up. Which 2018 first-round quarterback has the most pressure on them this year? That's what we want to talk about. There were six quarterbacks drafted first round in 2018? Is that right, or five?
Five
drafted in the first round. We picked the top four because the fifth, Josh Rosen, doesn't count anymore. Which 2018 first-round draft pick at quarterback has the most pressure this year going into his second year? If you have an answer you'd like to give us, we'll love to take your phone calls. The lines are open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. We'll take a tweet on the tweet sheet. We'll read those in a little bit. You can vote in the Twitter poll. We got 715 votes in the Twitter poll so far. Which 2018 first-round quarterback has the most pressure on them this coming year? Is it the Bills' Josh Allen, the Jets' Sam Darnold, Cleveland's Baker Mayfield, or Baltimore's Lamar Jackson? So far in the early voting, 715 votes, 46% of you say it's Cleveland's Baker Mayfield who has the most pressure this year. Interesting. 38%, not far behind, say it's Buffalo's Josh Allen. 8% say Sam Darnold, 8% say Lamar Jackson. What do you think? Which 2018 first-round quarterback has the most pressure on them? What do you think it is, Steve? I think it's Baker Mayfield. And then Josh got considerable pressure as well. But I think after the drop-off in his production last year and the Browns' terrible year last year, I think Baker Mayfield has the most pressure on him. What do you think, Steve?
I do, for a couple of reasons. One, I think outside of Buffalo – and we've heard it, and Josh Allen's always been this polarizing figure, right? There are people who hate him, and there's still people who bash on him, even after he won 10 games, helped him win 10 games last year, because he's not an accurate passer, and whatever. Say what you want about Josh Allen. He's really polarizing. And I think, that being said, he was the what the seventh player picked, fifth player picked overall in that draft.
Seventh
player picked overall. Baker Mayfield was the first guy picked, and he's on his fourth head coach. Fourth head coach. He had Hugh Jackson, then he had Greg Williams, then he had Freddie Kitchens, and now he's got
Kevin Stefanski.
So he's on his fourth head coach. It's starting to look like it's Baker Mayfield, you know, and he's got to play well enough to, you know, get that out of people's minds. And he's, you know, it hasn't been all, you know, it hasn't been easy in Cleveland. Some of it probably was not his fault. Freddie Kitchens was not a good head coach in Cleveland. You can't blame Baker Mayfield for that, but certainly you would like to have seen Baker Mayfield be more productive under a guy that he gave a total vote of confidence to as head coach. And he didn't. So particularly with all the talent around him. So I don't think there's any question Baker's under the most pressure because of what's happened over the course of his career in Cleveland and what it looked. And now getting Kevin Stefanski on as offensive coordinator, his fourth head coach, I think it's put up or shut up time for Baker. Josh Allen, no question. They've done everything they can to build a championship caliber roster around. He's got a great defense. They just added another weapon. They've got an offensive line that is solid. They've got a young running back that looks great. Young athletic tight ends that are developing. That I think are really going to take a step forward. And Josh Allen did take a step forward last year. So now it's expected that he would take another one. And although it's not as much pressure as Baker Mayfield, I don't think there's any question Josh Allen would, come in right behind Baker on this list.
I agree. That's our Twitter poll question. Which 2018 first-round quarterback has the most pressure on him in 2020? Give us a call. We'd love to hear your voice about anything regarding the Bills or the NFL. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Vote in the Twitter poll. Send in your tweets. We will read them on the tweet sheet when we return. I got this on the tweet sheet, unrelated to that topic. Lee wants to know, he says, hey, One Bills Live, when are we going to hear from any of these signings, especially Stephon Diggs? We'd like to hear what they have to say. Good question, Lee, and we're waiting to, and we're told that, you know, it's just a paperwork thing, right? Physical, they can't bring these guys in. Can't bring anybody in. They're not bringing them in for physicals. In some cases, they get independent physicals done, and at that point, with electronic transmission of paper, they would be able to make it an official signing. But we're told that, like, Dean Marlowe and Isaiah McKenzie, former Bills, who were re-signed the contracts, they might be quicker in the pipeline as far as getting them in town or at least on the phone for a guest shot with us and for all the media, just because they have more recent physical information. But some of the others, you know, the seven they signed, including and traded for Diggs, they just don't have the physicals done. They can't get the paperwork done. So that's what we're waiting for as far as getting those guys on. As soon as we can, we'll get them on. We promise you that. Coming to you on radio today, we are not in the Seneca studios again today. Radio coverage only for One Bills Live. And we'll come back and let's hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy here from our homes once again. We are headed towards, the draft. It looks like it was never.
Are you there, Steve?
Oh, yeah. We're on the air. Go ahead. Did you mute your mic or something?
Yeah. No, I don't know what happens. I think cuts up. Sorry.
Technical difficulties. Yeah. By the way, your Skype camera's pointed at the ceiling too. By the way, bro. There you go.
Look at my beard coming in, huh?
Listen, I was gonna say something about it, and I didn't. But it's gonna be a nice one. I can tell.
It's a little scant over here, but I'll give it some time. I did this 10 or 12 years ago. I had a beard, and it took a while, but when it came in, it looked good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I still like
mine too. Mine takes forever.
Yeah, I'm 2 weeks away from looking good.
Anyway, yeah. So I just said that we're waiting on that. We talked in the first segment about the draft not being delayed, and we're still waiting on that. And I guess it's still going to happen, and it's not that far away now. Starting to zoom in on us. I just have my doubts as to whether it's going to happen, Murph. I think the league will reconsider, don't you?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm a little puzzled by what the league announced, that the league announced yesterday it's still on, and then the GM has to be postponed. It's a month from tomorrow, right? Yeah, one right. month from tomorrow is round one. I still think there's time to make this happen some way, isn't there?
I mean, they can. Yeah, I think they're getting some pushback from the football people, right? Yeah. And I just think right now, kind of like us, the football people are secondary considerations. I mean, if for a football league, I hate to say that, but I think it's true, right?
Yeah.
Football and all this stuff is secondary to what's really going on around the country. So I think they're. I think the league is just saying, listen, we're going to keep on keeping on. We, you know, there was some, you and I had the conversation about the league going on with free agency on schedule, like they were, you know, like nothing was going on. And we, I suspected, and you thought they were a little tone deaf, and they got, yes, I saw did. A couple of them. But I, most people were like, yeah, I want something else to watch other than Cuomo and the president's briefings and all the other stuff that's going on. I want something else to think about for about, for a little while. So free agency was a nice distraction from that. They got, I think you and I both think the NFL was fortunate to get that kind of feedback from most people. But how's it going to be in a month from now? You know, what's it going to be like? Are they going to continue? I don't have a problem with them saying they're going to go on with it as scheduled now, but they should also say, listen, this could change. And they should start preparing for it to change if indeed it needs to.
Yeah, I think they're ready to change if they have to, right? Aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's it? You and I are like everybody else. What's it take, really? It's just a decision that there's hundreds of people that are going to be involved in that decision that are going to have to do some big changes in their schedule and in their preparation for it to change. So I don't know if it'll happen or not.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call here. Tim is on the line. Hello, Tim. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi,
Tim.
Hello. Are you there?
Go ahead,
you're on
Tim.
The air, Tim. Hi.
Listen, a long-time listener, love the show. I have my own business as a medical courier, so you are exclusively in my life on the radio, and I enjoy it on a daily basis, and it breaks up the day. But now that we've moved into a surreal world, I'm that guy in the Rochester area that is going in three different counties to hospitals and picking up the test kits for the testing of the coronavirus. And needless to say, it kind of feels like playing a bad hand of poker, but it must be done. So what you guys have always given me has now moved to a place where I feel safe when I'm between runs. And I am not the only one. I've spoken to other drivers that are fans of the show and, of course, fans of the Bills. And we really appreciate that you're going to extraordinary means to make this show keep coming to us, because it takes my mind off of what I have to deal with on a daily basis, because it is, when you're in it, it's a whole other world now.
I get it. Hey, Tim, thanks. That's nice. I will say, to have you tell me that we're going to extraordinary means, I'm like shaking my head. I mean, I'm walking down to my kitchen and firing up my laptop. It's not exactly extraordinary, but I appreciate the sentiment, and we like doing the show. No matter what circumstances, we like doing the show, and if it helps you through it, I think that's good. What do you think, Steve?
Let me just tell you, I admire you, too. I really appreciate what you're doing, more so than us talking about football and free agency. Thanks for kind of keeping on, because there are, and I said this the other day, I have a few members of my extended family who are nurses in the area, well-established nurses, and they're at risk. And then at the end of their shifts, they have to go home to their families and hopefully take all the precautions they've taken are enough to keep their kids and their spouses safe from the virus. So all of those people in the medical industry, they're keeping on. And like I said too, Murph, not just Tim driving from place to place, hospital to hospital, you know, trying to get these results of the tests and all the other things that are going on. You've also got the same people that are just plain sick for the other stuff, you know, and injured and falling off a ladder and, you know, stepping off the curb wrong and twisting their ankle and breaking their leg or whatever. All of that stuff's still going on too. And that you know, and they got to deal, the medical industry's got to deal with that as well. So, man, oh man, they're, it's, if me, if you and me sitting in the comfort of our own homes aids in that, I can hit a home run with that job, right?
Yep,
I mean, least we can do is that. So I'm doing it. I am, I'm doing everything I can. If all I have to do is be a slug, by golly, I'll be the best one. So here we go.
Yeah. What's the most extraordinary thing you feel like you've done? Hang up that cushion in your background that to deaden the noise in your den?
Yeah. Right? And maybe like skip a run to the supermarket, you know, consolidate my runs or whatever, whatever. You know, so I stay in the house. That's the biggest. And, you know, the biggest sacrifice for me, Murph, is probably curtailing the urge to go see my grandkids, you know?
Yep.
And curtailing the urge to go see my kids. And I mean, my son, you know, Luke, the one that has co-hosted the show, Luke, he and his wife, they're in one of their final doctor's appointments today for the twins they're expecting.
Yep.
I mean, so you don't think I want to be like in the midst of that? And that's the biggest of sacrifice for me. So, I know that's just, you know, that's a grain of sand on a long sandy beach for most people and all the sacrifices we've gone around us.
I got the one grandson. Have you guys, you and Sarah, done the FaceTime with your grandchildren, Steve?
No, you know what we're planning on doing tonight, though? You know, we have the five children, and they're all grown.
Yeah.
So we're going to have, you know, Zoom. I don't know what Zoom is yet.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what that is yet. I'm finding out because everybody's meeting that way, right?
Right.
So we're going to have a Zoom cocktail party tonight. After the show's over, right? I'm not a big heavy drinker, but at least we're going to get together, face wise, like on Skype, you know, like we are on Skype today, you and me and Jay. So we're going to have, you know, like, you know, everybody will have their own whatever cocktail, and we'll sit around and talk about how everybody's doing. My daughter is in Alaska, Anchorage. Everything's shut down up there, just like it is here, and they've only got a couple of days ago they had a handful of cases.
Right.
So I have a son and daughter-in-law who live in New York in White Plains. They're just outside. He commutes to the city. They're both working full-time from home. And then I got the two boys married here with kids here in East Aurora. And then I got the one, and here's the big dilemma, Murph, and I don't want to, you know, we're going off on these personal stories, but a 22-year-old who's suspended his college education, his senior year. He doesn't get to graduate. There's no spring break, no classes, no senior projects, no graduation for him. None of that stuff. And he is still down trying to get a handle on what they're going to do with the final trimester of his college career as a student. And he didn't even know what he's going to do, how he's going to take classes, who his professors are, what he's going to do. So he's in Savannah, Georgia, kind of trying to deal with that on his own. And we're wishing he was here.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
And that's I'm pretty sure we are probably typical of a lot of people who have issues like this or similar to this that they're dealing with, like you and Jay, with his child care at his house. So I don't know. If I can do my part by sitting here in my office doing the show from there, and I appreciate the call from Tim in Rochester who's driving around. Hey, I'll do it. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, if you miss your grandchildren, which I'm sure you do, we do it almost every day now, FaceTime with my grandson. It is the highlight of the day. And you know, it's been cool over the last week or week and a half or so to watch him adapt to, instead of seeing us face to face, seeing us on the little phone screen and react to us that way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's highly recommended. People have found that.
We have a photo share with our family. So all my sons and their wives are faithfully putting videos and pictures of their grandkids and what they're doing up every day. So that's nice.
Yep. Well, enough about us. Let's talk about us. No, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back, and we'll get to some of the we'll get to your calls and some of your comments on the tweet sheet when we return. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from our home. Steve's at home. I'm at home. Our producer, Jay Harris, is home. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. One Bills Live, John Murphy and Steve Pants. We're working from our homes again today. Not too hard, not extraordinary. We're working from our homes. Happy to do it, too, as we bring you the show. Going to talk with Chris Brown coming up at 1 o'clock. Sonalyn Wilcots from Pro Football Focus at 1:30. And Rich Cimini talking about the Jets at 2 o'clock. Our Twitter poll today, which first-round quarterback drafted first round 2018 has the most pressure on him this year? Is it Buffalo's Josh Allen, the Jets' Sam Darnold, the Browns' Baker Mayfield, the Ravens' Lamar Jackson? In our Twitter poll, 49% of you say Baker Mayfield has the most pressure. 38%, 36% say it's Josh Allen. Let's read some of the tweets. You can also give us a call to discuss at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. From Bills and Mets fan on Twitter, Lamar exceeded expectations, not a lot of pressure. Josh is living up to expectations. Moderate pressure nationwide, more on the part of Bills fans. Darnold and Mayfield have lots of pressure because both could be busts. Between the two, it's Mayfield because he was the number one pick. That's pretty good analysis. By the way, we had one person on Twitter say, hey, you forgot Josh Rosen. No, he didn't. He's got no pressure because he's got no career yet. But Lamar exceeded expectations. Steve, do you believe that to be the case? Steve, not here. We're trying to reconnect with Steve. Are you there, Steve?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I did think Lamar Jackson overachieved. I mean, nobody thought he was going to be an MVP quarterback when he was drafted. He was drafted in the first round, and I gave a lot of credit yesterday to John Harbaugh when we had Brian Baldinger on the show. John Harbaugh, they went all in with Lamar Jackson and built the team around him in a way that would give him the best chance to succeed, and they did it. They got the MVP, and they got a number two seed in the conference, or number one seed in the conference, and he overachieved. I don't think anybody saw him doing that. And I think for that, he gets some slack this year, although he can't fall off the table either. I don't think this could be his last year in Baltimore if he did flop. But I think
it might be his second to last year.
Maybe, but I think it depends on what teams do to contain him and how he reacts to a league that has seen him for 16 games already. That's the big question. How are teams – are they going to be able to defend him on the ground? And if they can he still win? If he still wins, obviously they're not going to move from him at all. But he's got to prove that, I think.
Yeah, to your question, how are they going to contain him? I would say they're going to make him play quarterback, going to make him throw the football. And I'm not convinced that he can succeed that way. You know, I was thinking about Lamar, and I guess he prompts this question, but Josh falls into this as well. Maybe another question or a similar question, maybe a better question would be, which of the 2018 first-round quarterbacks is going to take a step back this year? I would think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I wonder if Sam Darnold is going to take a big step forward. He may or may not. Josh Allen, I think, has plenty of doubters who say, you know, you and I think, I would say in general, that Josh has been pretty methodical stepping forward in his career, and Baker Mayfield took his step back last year. But of the four, I would say Lamar Jackson has a chance to take a major step backwards this year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's hard to go forward from the MVP, right? He's got to win the Super Bowl to take a step forward. So it's easy to see. And you know, then even if he plays the same as he did, it will be perceived as a step backwards if somebody else wins the MVP who has a breakout year. I don't want to make a laugh, but what if Josh Allen wins the MVP, right? And then where you stand, right? I mean, that's the first time. Let me just go on record as saying I'm the first guy that put Josh Allen and the MVP in the same sentence. I'm not predicting he's going to do that. But let's face it, if he takes a step forward, he continues to progress, he's going to be a really, really good quarterback.
Yeah.
We have yet to see him take a regression in his development. He does it on a week-to-week basis. Once in a while, he'll have a worse game than he did the week before. But, man, oh, man, that guy is getting better. He did it in a course of 16 games this last year, and he continues to. So, you know, that's, you know, I think if anybody else wins the MVP, yeah, Lamar Jackson is going to be perceived as having taken a step backward. If they don't do the same things offensively that they did a year ago, yes, people are going to lay that at the feet of Lamar Jackson. So I think that is, you know, I think it's easiest to say that if you're going to ask for which one of these guys is going to take a step back, he has the biggest chance to because of how high and how well he played last year.
Let me ask you this question. We're going to break here in a minute, and it's kind of a similar question, but I'm going to give you two quarterbacks from the class of 2018 and ask you, who's going to be the next one to be named an MVP? Is it Lamar Jackson, who's already got one, or Buffalo's Josh Allen? Who will be the next of those two? Who would be the next one to win MVP? I know who I think it would be.
Yeah,
and it's not a guarantee
question.
He will. But I think Josh has potential to be in it, most valuable player, to be the leading quarterback, an effective quarterback, maybe not a great passer, an effective quarterback on a really good team. And I think he will do that before Lamar Jackson repeats as MVP. What do you think of that?
It's interesting. That's big, and I'm glad you said it before I did. I brought it up, but you think about it.
The heat on Twitter. Bring it on.
They are. I mean, people are going to laugh at you. You're going to take some heat for it. But you think about it, and where Josh is headed in his career, and what he did, a step forward he took this last year, and what he has under the hood as an athlete. Yeah, and now that this team, you add Steph Diggs to the mix, you put that defense as – you know, statistically, they got better up front with the number of sacks and pressures that they lost in Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson. You bring in the guys they brought in, and yeah, they statistically might have gotten better to a top two or three defense in the league. So, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I guess
but
it's
Josh,
another way of saying who's got the bigger upside. I happen to think Josh Allen has a bigger upside than Lamar Jackson.
Well, I don't know. Lamar is MVP. It's hard to say he's got more of an any more than we've already seen.
Right.
He is a great player, and in some cases, Lamar Jackson's a unicorn. We've never seen anybody like him, right? He's one of a kind. That makes him special. Josh has shown steady, predictable improvement, and it'll be interesting to see if he can continue that. We had doubts that he would last offseason. Although we were optimistic, and sure enough, he came through last year with a 10-win season, six points better in his completion percentage, you know, all of that. So he just ran the offense better. Josh is going to – I would say, you know, you can be optimistic like this, Murph. I got to wait and see it, but you can be optimistic that Josh is going to take another step forward. And now what's that going to look like on a team that won 10 games and now has an even better defense, possibly?
Yep. I don't know.
It's fun to talk about it.
Locks into our house so much that we're not clearly. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. That's the way I feel, and I'm ready to take the heat for it. We're going to get Chris Brown in a moment or two. Chris will give us his update on – what he's wearing during the quarantine, what he's doing during the quarantine, what does he think of the Bills moves, all of that from Brownie coming up when we return. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from our home today. Steve's at home. I'm at home. Jay Harris, our producer, at home. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.